Hello, besties. Welcome back to your healthy BFF. I'm your host, Ivy, and I apologize. I normally do not sound like this. I am at the end of strep throat. And like, who gets strep throat at 26 years old? It's so annoying, but I have to tell you about this story. So I went to Disney World with my family that I nanny for, and I literally got sick with strep and thought I was going to die at Disney. So we went to like four parks, and it was the third day, and I woke up that morning and I was just like not feeling my best. But I thought I was just tired because I was also sleeping on like a pull-out couch and I wasn't sleeping the best. And with my autoimmune, if you listen to my past, I think it's two podcasts ago, about my autoimmune, you know, like when I'm worn down or don't get enough sleep, then like I have body aches and fatigue and I feel really sick. So I thought that's what was going on, because we were just like going hard at the parks, like getting up at like 6:45, not getting back to like 11:30, and then sleeping, not sleeping well, and then like going back to the parks. So I woke up not feeling my best, but I'm just like gonna push through because I'm like, I'm just tired. And the day like keeps going on and I'm just like not feeling better at all. But you know, when you're like with someone else, like you're not with your family or like your significant other, it's not like you can just be like, hey, like I'm really sick, like I need to go lay down. I was just trying to push through. So we went to like a late lunch. I think it was at like 3 o'clock. And at that lunch, I was like, oh no. I was like, something is not good. Like, not good. And after that, it was like, I couldn't even barely walk. Like, I was so fatigued. We would like walk out of the restaurant and they would be like getting something out of their bag and I would sit down. And like, from there, I was like, I don't think I can get up. And then eventually, like, I had voiced a few times that I didn't feel great. But the dad eventually was like, Ivy, I think you should just like count your L and just like go back to the resort, because your eyes like do not look right. Like you looked very fatigued. So I was like, thank the Lord. Yes, that's what I'm going to do. Go back to the resort. And like, if you've never been to Disney, so the way that it works is you obviously have to like walk all the way out of the park, walk to the Disney buses, wait in line at the buses, get on the bus, and then the ride from the bus to your resort. So like the whole process was probably like 45 minutes. And I legit thought I was not going to make it to the resort. And I'm not being dramatic. Like I actually could barely walk. And I was afraid that like my legs were not going to work when I got off the bus, because they were so fatigued that they felt like insane. I was like, I really don't know if I'm going to be able to get off the bus. And then where we were staying, the bus to our room, because this place has so many rooms, the walk was literally almost a mile. So I knew after I got off the bus, I was then going to be walking almost a mile to get to our room. So it was just like, it was so horrible. And as soon as I got in the room, I just lost it. Like I was sobbing, only had 2 Advil to my name in the room. I'm so sorry. My dog is barking. Oh my gosh. anyways, so I only had 2 Advil to my name and I was just like sobbing. Like I was like, I feel so bad. I'm going to have to sleep on this pullout with literally springs in my back, feeling this sick, this fatigued. And at this point, I still thought it was just like autoimmune related. I was like, I'm just really worn down and this is like a terrible flare up. But it turns out that I had a really, really high fever and I spent the whole next day laying in bed watching Outer Banks. And literally was just miserable. Like I had chills. It was so, so bad. And then the next day after that, I had to get on a flight and come home. At this point, I still didn't know I had strep. I didn't know what was going on. All I know was that I needed to get home ASAP. And that leads me to my next update, which I'm sure you've heard by now, because you can literally hear him. I got a puppy. So Spencer and I got a golden doodle. His name is Pogue and we are so obsessed with him. But the timing, hold on, I'm gonna have to get him to stop barking. Anyways, sorry about that. So the timing was just a little chaotic because I obviously didn't know I was gonna be sick coming home from the airport. And who we got the dog from, she was actually meeting somebody else at the airport that was flying in to get like his brother. So it worked out really well that we didn't have to drive like 3 hours to where they live. She was already going to be at the airport, so we had planned a week in advance to pick him up when I flew in. But of course, I had strep then, so I picked him up, and then Spencer had to go on a work trip that he goes on like once a year, and it just happened to be like the next day. So I went to Disney, got sick, came home to literally a puppy. The next morning, Spencer left for 4 days to go on a trip. And so I had a puppy for 4 days with strep throat by myself. So it was a little chaotic, but it went a lot better than I thought. Like, my parents came one day and watched him while I actually went to the doctor to find out what was wrong with me. And from there, we hung out for 4 days by herself, and it ended up being nice because he slept a lot and I slept a lot, so it kind of worked out. It was just really hard when he peed in my bed at 2:30 in the morning, and just like being woken up, and when you're sick is not fun. And also right now we live in two flights up, and we're in an apartment, and so like taking him downstairs, I would have to carry him, and he's 14 pounds, so I would have to carry him down and back up, only for him to literally stand in the grass for like 30 minutes. And so potty training when it was by myself was like so bad. I just kind of gave up on it. I was like, you know what, we're just going to use pee pads and Spencer can deal with this when he gets home, because I'm too sick to deal with it. But with that being said, it all worked out, and Spencer's back home now, and he's the best puppy. He's super chill. He's so freaking cute. If you haven't seen him, go look at my Instagram right now, because he's flipping adorable, and I'm not even being biased. Like, he is just the cutest freaking dog. So we have just been taking care of him, and we also got news that we are moving earlier than anticipated, which is super fun. So we were supposed to move on March 15th, and our landlord was like, I'll just go ahead. If y'all want to go ahead and pay like upfront half month's rent and security deposit, then instead of paying it on the 15th, then I'll go ahead and like give you the keys. We're like, oh, heck yeah. So now we have like almost a whole month to like move out of where we are and like transition over. So we got our keys yesterday, which is like, we just have a lot going on, but it's all very exciting things. So yeah, I'm super excited. And that's a little bit of my life updates that I have going on. Also, this is not a life update, but I wanted to talk about like the Hailey and Selena drama. Like, if you're on TikTok, I know you've seen it, and I need to know what your take is. Like, message me on Instagram and let me know, because I'm all in it. I've always been like a big Hailey fan. I mean, I wouldn't say a fan. I just like really like her style, and I think she's like super like chic. But I've also been like a Selena fan too. So I don't know, like some of it makes sense. Like a lot, it's like some of it you just can't deny. Like the G tattoo behind both of their ears, that is just like weird to me. But then there's stuff on the internet that's like so far-fetched. Anyways, I just think at the end of the day, we shouldn't be pinning them against each other over something that happened so long ago. But I feel like maybe Hailey and her friends are what's like keeping it relevant. But I don't know, because you know, they could have made that TikTok and it could have nothing to do with the drama. So it's just really hard to know. But also, my biggest take is like, Justin not saying anything and like not standing up for his wife speaks volumes to me. Like, I'm telling you right now, if the whole world is canceling me on the internet and Spencer's not coming to my side defending me and like posting me all the time and making it known that like he's not for the bullshit, I am gonna be raging. Like, I will rage. So I feel for her on that, because if that's how he is, then it makes sense that she's still upset and is like in this drama. But anyways, I just want to know your take on it, because it's been very interesting to me the past week. I just realized I never said what this episode was about. So today we're talking about advice for your early 20s and like when you're in college. So now that I'm 26, literally turned 26 a couple weeks ago, I feel like I can talk on this. And I know I have so much more advice, but these were just like the top things like off my head that I could think of. I read literally so many personal growth books in my early 20s. I started with You're a Badass in college, and that changed the way that I thought about a lot of things and made me like realize that there's so much more I could have in my life. So First off, go read that book. Like, if you haven't read it yet, I know it's like super popular, so a lot of people have, but if you haven't, that's like my biggest piece of advice, is pick up that book because it'll make you think differently. But a lot of these advice, or this advice that I'm going to give, is like stuff that I've heard from other people. It's also stuff that I've heard in books. It's also stuff that, just like looking back on my early 20s and like when I was in college and when I was struggling, that like I wish someone would have said to me. So yeah, let's get into it. So the first one I took from a book, it's called The Slight Edge. And basically this is a way of like having discipline in your life. And it's basically says like, so big moves, like say quitting your job. Okay, that is, I'm not gonna say easy, but like that is easier for people to do, like big things, like quit your job or like book a really big trip, or I can't think of another example right now, but like those things are easier because it's like, it's one time you do it and then it's done. The Slight Edge is saying that it's more important on like the things that you do daily that are going to build over time, and applying this to your life is going to help you in all areas. So like financially, you know, with your house, keeping your house clean, which mine is not right now because we're moving, but in your relationships, like if you do these big gestures for, let's say, your husband once a year, that's not going to do much for your relationship. But if you do small little things for him every single day, then that is going to make your relationship flourish. So basically, the Slight Edge is saying that the small mundane things that you do every single day are more important than the big things that you do maybe once or twice a year, because the small mundane things is like what makes up your life, and it's like the compound effect. So let's say in an example of working out, if I go to Pilates 3 to 4 times a week, then that's better than going to Pilates all of January and then not going at all in February, and then maybe going all of March and then not going for 2 months. Like, it's better to go 3 times a week than to do that and then burn out and not go the next month. So I think the Slight Edge is so important. You can apply it in every single aspect of your life, and it really does like create the life that you want. The next one is, I learned this in college, and it's that there's a difference between like convenient friends and real friends. And I don't want this to come off as like rude of like, oh, you're just a convenient friend, because when this was my life, I wasn't like labeling my friends like that, obviously, but I think it is important to be aware of. So her example, like when I was in college, my two best friends, they were always in a relationship. And so, yes, we still had fun. Yes, we did things together. I don't want to discredit that at all, but our timelines were a little bit different. So when they would want to go on dates with like their boyfriends, I would still want to like go out to the bars and like drink and stay out till 3 a.m. And so in order for me to do that, I found friends that lived that lifestyle. And all of those friends that live that lifestyle, I'm pretty much not friends with at all now, because they were just convenient friends. They were friends who were on the same like path as me at the time, and like we had fun together, but they weren't like my ride or die real friends that I would like tell my secrets to or like go to when I was upset. They were more just like, hey, they like to do this thing, I like to do this thing, let's go hang out together. Whereas like my real friends are like the friends that I had different timelines with, that now we're all kind of back on the same timeline. It's a little bit different, but like that's my best friend who just had a baby, like that I'm still very, very close with, that I'll still like spend the night at their house. Like, and you're gonna have less real friends, and that's okay. Like, you don't need like 20 real friends. You just need a few, and like really take the time to flourish those relationships, because if you're trying to flourish like 20 friendships, it's never gonna last, because you can't maintain that many real friendships. You can maintain that many acquaintances, but real friendship is, it takes work and it takes time, and you have to like put in the work to it. And so just like as you're going through college or through your early 20s, maybe even like your mid 20s, they're going to be friends that they're there for just the season. And like, that's okay. Like, you don't have to have like hard feelings towards them because y'all aren't close anymore. It might just be that they were like your convenient friends. Number 3 is to hold on to your faith. And I wish that someone would have like drilled this into my head a little bit when I was going into college. I felt like I just had so much going on in my head. I was dealing with like mental health really bad. And I also was like in a love triangle with two guys that I was in love with, both of them. And it was just so bad that it's like that was all that consumed me. And I slipped into a really, really dark place. And like I wasn't putting in time to like my relationship with God and like going to church and like holding on to the one thing that like I should have been holding on to. I was just so consumed in my own head and my own issues that I kind of let that slip. And that was really the time that I should have been like grasping at that more. And so I would just say, like, especially if you're like starting college or you're in college, like don't let go of that part of your life in order to like, I guess, keep up and like get so distraught and stressed that like that's the first thing that goes, when really that should be like the thing that you cling to the most. Which kind of leads me into the next one, which is don't compromise your beliefs for others. And this is something that I will say I did a really good job at in college, and it takes effort and it takes you intentionally making a decision. So in high school and like as I was a kid, I always told myself like I would never do drugs and I would not be sleeping around. Like I would not be sleeping with anyone. So that's what I did all through college. There were obviously a lot of people who were like smoking and doing different drugs. And because I was in a sorority and I went to fraternity parties and I liked to go out, I'm not going to say I didn't drink because I did a lot. But I was around all of that a lot. And even, no, I'm not even going to get into my ex-boyfriend situation. That's just too much for today. That's a little too early in the morning for that. Maybe we'll circle back around that at another time. But basically, I was offered that a lot and I always said no. And a lot of the times I'm like, I was the odd one out, right? Like you're the only one not doing it. But for me, that was so important. And that was something that like, I told myself I will never do drugs. To this day, I still have never done drugs. I told myself that's something that I will not compromise. It does not matter who is offering it. It does not matter the situation. That is not happening. And so I think you have to go into college or into these situations, if you're going to put yourself in a situation where you're around things, you have to have in your head, like you have to be confident in your decision and not care what other people think. Same with not sleeping with anyone. Like there were multiple times where people I was even friends with was like, oh, you've been hanging out with him. Like he's so hot, da 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 da. Like, why don't you just lose your virginity to him? Like, why don't you just do it? And to me, that was just like so insane to think like, oh yeah, let me just lose my virginity to someone just because he's hot and just because he's giving me a little bit of attention, knowing that we're never gonna date, we're never gonna be together. That just, my brain could not fathom that. And this is just me personally, like I obviously had friends that were sleeping around and whatever, and I was not judging them by any means. But for me personally, that was just a decision I had already made. And so it didn't matter who came along or what they said or, oh, you're too goody good or you're too this or you're too that. Like, I can't date you because you're too good for me. The people who actually said that to me, it was a blessing in disguise because they were actually right. At the time, I'm like, that's so annoying for you to say. Like, I don't judge your past. Like, why are you judging me because I don't have one? But in hindsight, I'm like, they were right. They weren't good enough for me. And so I think it's just like really important to like hold on to those beliefs and don't compromise them just because you want to fit in. Like there were definitely times where I'm like, this is so annoying because all my friends like kind of loved that I didn't sleep with anyone because it was just so unheard of. Like I hardly knew anybody else that was in that same position. And so they would just like sometimes tell other people, or like it would slip out in conversation. And I always felt like, I don't know, like it was just like a badge of honor, but also it was kind of like taboo at the same time. And so it was always really hard to talk about with people. And I was never ashamed of it, But I also just like didn't want to talk about it all the time, if that makes sense. Like I didn't want that to be the only thing that people like associated me with. But at the end of the day, like I will say, I'm super proud of myself for like holding on to those beliefs and not giving in to what society wanted me to do and what other people wanted me to do. And so like whatever your beliefs are, just be bold in them and don't be afraid of like, oh, he might not date me because I'm not gonna sleep with him. Who freaking cares? If he's not gonna sleep with you, or if he's not gonna be with you because you won't sleep with him right away, then like screw him. You don't need him. So just don't compromise your beliefs for others. I think this is honestly the most important one out of all of these. This one's kind of dumb, but it came to me last night as I was literally falling asleep. And it's don't get a dog in college. Like, I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I remember a time where I was like laying in my bed and someone was like offering a free dog. And I was like texting my parents, like, oh my gosh, like I want to get it. And they were like, no, absolutely not. And I was pissed because I'm like, why won't they let me get one? Like, we've always had dogs growing up, whatever. But now that I have a puppy, I'm like, there is no way in hell I could have raised a dog in a sorority, and we were in a house, but kind of with a bunch of girls and going to school and trying to keep up a social life. And I was struggling with mental health and I was always gone. Like, it would have ended up at my parents' house, or I would have had to get rid of it because there's no way I could have done it. And like, now having a puppy, I see how much work it is and also how much money it is when it comes to like food and if they have to get groomed and taking them to the vet and all these things. Like, I think me and Spencer got a dog at the absolute perfect time for us. But if I would have got one in college, I would have been a hot mess. Like, it would have not helped me at all. So I see the mistake of a lot of people doing this where they get a dog in college and either they have to give it away or it goes to their parents' house because they actually cannot keep up with it because it's a lot of work. So just save yourself the hassle and wait until you get out of college. This next one is something that my mom has told me pretty much my whole life when it comes to making decisions. So I will say I still really struggle with decision making. I really think it stems from the fact that I was in a love triangle for a really long time and I constantly was being asked to make a decision and I just couldn't do it. And when I finally did, the decision led me not in a good place. So I really do struggle with decision making and it's something that I'm working on. But even when I was like going through all of this and just like when I was afraid to try new things, like my mom would always say, what's the worst thing that can happen? If you can handle that, then do it. So we would literally say, okay, the worst thing that happens if I, this was like a high school example, if I text this guy that I had a crush on, what's the worst thing that can happen? He doesn't text you back. Can you handle that? Can you handle going to school, seeing him, knowing that he didn't text you back? Can you handle that rejection? If the answer is no, don't text him. If the answer is yes, then try it. And so I use that a lot in my life, and I feel like it just really helps the decision-making process, and like you kind of weigh out like the risk of what you're about to do. I really don't know where this one came from. It might have came from someone when I was doing Arbonne network marketing, or it came from a book, but it's if you want something different, you have to do something different. So I have held on to this one so much, especially like graduating college and all of my friends were getting full-time jobs. You know, they were going the marketing route, being a teacher, going to nursing school, like doing the things that they're passionate about. But my path was just so different. And I just had to remind myself of like, I want a different life. Not to say that my life's better than theirs, it's not by any means. It's just different. And in order to have a different lifestyle than what is the norm of, you know, having a career that is linear or having a career that is a 9-to-5 job, I had to do something different. And in order to do something different, I had to start messy, which leads me into the next one. In order to put anything out there, especially in the job that I have where you're putting your life on the internet or you're trying new, you know, services for people to buy or different things, like you just have to start. And I think that is what holds people back a lot, is just starting something new, starting something that you're not good at. I always use like the analogy of a basketball player. Like, in order to be in the NBA, you don't just show up one day and you're in the NBA. Like, you had to start not knowing how to play. You had to start not knowing how to play basketball and as you were a child, you had to practice and practice and do things over and over again, and you're going to lose games. But just because you lost the game doesn't mean you're not good at what you do. It just means you lost the game and you got to pick up and go on to the next. And so I think a lot of people, actually, I know a lot of people don't do things because they're afraid of like the messy part, but you just have to like start messy, take messy action, and not let perfectionism hold you down. And I think for me, this isn't super hard for me because I've never been a perfectionist. So if you are a perfectionist, I feel like this is a lot harder to like grasp. But nothing is ever going to be perfect. For example, when I started this podcast, I had no flipping clue what I was doing, like no clue, but I was like, this is something that I want to do. I'm going to figure it out along the way instead of keep stalling until everything is perfect, until I have the perfect cover art, until I have the perfect, you know, pictures to promote, like all of that. If I would have waited, this podcast might not have ever be a thing. So just start messy, start where you're at, and you know, everything will come together in the end. And if you want something different, you have to do something different, and you have to be okay with your life and the things that you do day to day not matching up with everyone around you if the people you're surrounding yourself with aren't on the same path as you. This one might be the most important one, and this is something that I really wish someone would have taught me growing up. And it's that if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And I'm glad now that like social media is a thing, because I do think this is being talked about a lot more than when I was in college and I was struggling with this. I felt like I had no options. So my advice here is like, focus on your mental health and your physical health and make that like a top priority, because if you are not in a good place mentally or physically, everything else is going to be harder. Your relationships are going to be harder. Your career is going to be harder. You're not going to be as happy because you feel bad. And I know from experience, if you've listened to this podcast at all, you know I've dealt with sickness so much mentally and physically. And this is just like so, so important. I also wish someone would have told me when I was like in a deep depression, I wish I would have known that there were more options for me. In my head, the only option to mental distress was medication. That was the only option. I didn't know there was other ways. I grew up with my dad like being on anxiety medication, even though I didn't fully understand that until I was like in college what that meant. But that was all I knew. Like, I didn't know the education that I know now of like, here's the foods you can eat to help your brain. Here, if you're working out, this, you know, it's going to help your serotonin and your happiness. And, you know, you can go and talk to somebody and you can get help this way, and we can try out different supplements. Like, I didn't even go down that path at all. I, after years of being depressed and anxious, just jumped right to medicine. And let me just go ahead and say, I'm not fully against medicine. It saved me in a really, really tough time. And I'm glad that like I had my dad there to like help me through that. And I'm also glad that like the medication was there, but I did have to go through two medicines to get to the one that actually worked. And that was hell, because one of them made me crazy. It made me like have even more anxiety. And then the second one made me a zombie. Like, I literally fell asleep at Disney World sitting down on the ground, and like I couldn't even help my mom drive there because I was falling asleep. Like, I could not stay awake. It just made me a zombie before I finally found one that worked. And so that process is just like really, really hard, and it's scary to like be put on this medicine when doctors don't give you any way of like, here's how we're gonna come off of it. They normally just say you'll just be on it forever, and that's not healthy either. So I wish someone would have told me like, hey, let's try these few different things first, and then let's go into medication and see how that's going to work for you. Instead of just saying, hey, this is really your only option. Your brain's messed up, and this is the only thing you can do. So I am glad that it's like being talked about a lot more, which is why I also talk about it, because I just didn't know that these were options. And I feel like these days I see it all over TikTok. I see it all over social media where people are like glamorizing taking anxiety pills or like talking about their anxiety pills all the time. And it's like they went there first. Like, none of these people that I've been seeing are living any type of way, a healthy lifestyle. Like, they're going out, they're partying, they're drinking, which is terrible on anxiety medicine. And it's also bad for your anxiety. And so I see as a society, especially people who are in college and are in their like early 20s, that a lot, like, I would love to see the statistics, but I know a lot of them are on anxiety medication, like, a lot. And so I want you to know that, like, if you're struggling or you're in this place, there are other options for you to try first. Now, medicine has its place, don't get my words twisted, but I wish someone would have told me there are other things you can do before you have to try that, because that's also a process in itself. So I think that's the most important one, honestly. This one really has nothing to do with health or medication, but if he wanted to, he would. And I know this is like a trendy saying that's been going around, but honestly, I wish I would have had someone say this to me, like, in a short, concise way when I was in college, because I feel like I would have cut off a lot of things, like, a lot faster than I did. And I know it can kind of be toxic. Like, some people say that's like a toxic saying, but now that I'm, like, in a super healthy relationship and a healthy marriage, it is true. Like, if my husband wanted to do these nice things for me, if he, you know, when we were dating, like, if he wanted to take me out, if he wanted to show me around his friends, if he wanted to text me back fast, like, he would. Like, he would do these things. He's not too busy to do these things. And so I think that's just, if you're in the dating space, I think that's something to, like, hold on to, of, like, if you're sitting around, like, wondering what he's doing, or, like, if you're, like, in a situationship and he's, like, not texting you back and he's, like, out with friends and, like, just isn't, like, even checking in on you, then it's, like, he obviously either is doing something that you wouldn't approve, or he just doesn't want to. And, like, that's a huge reality check. But I think it's super important, and it's, like, it's just blunt. Like, I'm really blunt, and so I like that it's just blunt and straight to the point. Like, if he wanted to, he would, and if he's not doing it, then bye. Like, he's not worth your time. Which leads me to a piece of advice that actually changed my entire, like, I guess, future and, like, my relationship. So I was in a really toxic relationship with someone that I dated in high school. He was a part of the love triangle that I talked about. The love triangle story could literally be, like, 5 episodes. It's so long. It's so ridiculous. And did I mention that I was kind of stupid? But I was in this toxic relationship. It obviously had been on and off. And I finally, like, was like, I got to get out of this love triangle. Like, I know who I want to be with. Obviously, I picked the more toxic one, of course. And so I, like, picked him, whatever. We dated for, like, months. We, like, broke up, or, like, we're on a break. And then we got back together. And we'd only been together for probably, like, a month. And he decided that he was going to go on a fraternity cabin weekend. And if you don't know what that is, basically it just means, like, the fraternity rents out a big cabin in, like, a different state, and you go and party all weekend. And that he was going to go with another sorority, and all the girls had already paid, all the guys had already paid. No, there's no way that I could go. No, there's no way that he is just going to stay home, because he's already paid for it. And there's nothing that I should worry about, and da 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 da. Right? I obviously was, like, not happy about it. I was upset. I cried about it. It didn't matter. He was going. And this goes back to, if he wanted to, he would. Clearly, in this sense, he wanted to go more than he wanted to be with me. So that's what he did. I can laugh about it now, but at the time, it was really bad. So basically, I was like, okay, whatever. I'm going to trust you, because I wanted to be with him. And I said, you know, if you don't contact me during this time that you're gone for, like, days, then, like, I'm going to be done, because that I can't deal with that. And a little backstory, our best friend from high school had just passed away, like, a couple months prior to this. And, like, I had called him when I, like, heard that he had a wreck, and his phone just, like, went to voicemail. And sorry, this makes me a little emotional. His phone just, like, went to voicemail, and, like, all my messages were green. And, like, he was the type that, like, would always answer my phone call. He always had his phone on. So, like, I knew something was not right. And, like, that's a trauma, like, that's a trigger for me even now in my relationship. Like, Spencer knows, like, he can't let his phone die, like, and if he, like, loses service, and I don't know that he's gonna lose service, like, it just, like, triggers a emotional response and, like, a panic attack for me. And that's something that I've been working on, but, like, it happens, and it's like PTSD response. Anyways, so that was, like, at that time, I didn't know that I had that response to it, obviously. I didn't put that together until years after he passed away. But anyway, so him not communicating with me when he got there and like, hey, let me know you're safe. That was my big thing. Like, let me know when you get there. Let me know that you arrived safely. I was really worried about people driving and stuff at this time in my life. So what does he do? Ghost me for days. And let's just keep in mind, I had known this kid since kindergarten. We had been best friends forever and dated for like years. So we were really close. Ghosted me. Just literally wouldn't let me know when he got there. Like, his phone was going to voicemail. I would call him like 20 times. Literally, I was crazy about it because like he literally just was not responding. I was so worried something bad happened. There was nothing on social media. So like, I didn't even know if he made it there. His phone was like off. He just turned his phone off, I guess. So he didn't want to talk to me. And so I was distraught. It was like days of just like, I didn't sleep. I was just like, so like upset, crying, all the things. And I went home to my parents' house because I was just like so mentally distraught and I couldn't sleep and staying up all night hoping like he was going to call me or text me back, let me know everything's okay. And then of course I'm also thinking, well, he cheated on me too, because like he obviously is with all these girls and wants nothing to, can't even text me back, right? So finally, I was just like sobbing in my bed and my mom was in there and, you know, she always is like the logical, like, well, you know, y'all have always been on and off. And, you know, she's trying to like talk me into breaking up with him pretty much. And my dad just walks in. And this is a piece of advice. Sorry it took me so long to get here. But my dad walks in and he's like, what's going on? You know, and I tell him and he's like, you know what, Ivy, sometimes you just gotta say fuck it and move on. Okay. Sometimes you just have to do that. And I don't know what it was in that moment. It was like something snapped in my body. And I was like, you know what, Dad, you're right. You're right. That's the end of it. We're done. And I think that's really good advice. And I think I just heard it at the right time. And like, that's what I needed someone to say. Like, everything my mom was saying at that time was just like in one ear and out the other. But it was like, you know what? You just got to say F it and you got to move on because like, this is terrible for you. And so what did I do? I got in my car, drove back to where I was going to school. I think he came home actually that afternoon and I just showed up and was like, give me my shit. I'm done. Don't ever talk to me again. And I left. And that was the end of that. So yeah, so that's a really big piece of advice that just kind of like shook me to my core and changed the trajectory of like my relationships. And I think that also goes hand in hand with like, if he wanted to, he would. Like, clearly this man didn't care about me at all, or he would have at least texted me back, like the very bare minimum. Like, the audacity of men. And let's just say this, the girl that he is now married to, okay, and dated after me, like almost immediately after that happened, was on the trip. So that tells me everything I need to know about the trip. But yeah, my dad's advice that day just like really hit home. So if you're in a situation kind of like that, sometimes you just got to say F it and move on and be done with it. Leading into the next one is, this is like a Bible verse that like I held on to. And it's like, protect your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And I think that's super important when it comes to relationships. It's like, and friendships too. It's like, you have to be able to like spot these red flags and not ignore them, because at the end of the day, like, your heart is fragile. And like, I held on to this verse like for so long when I was dating. And like, obviously, yes, I just told a story about literally being heartbroken. It didn't like protect me from everything. Like, you're still going to go through hard things in relationships. But like, I wasn't sleeping with these men. So like, I think that like protected me a lot more, because even though I was so, so heartbroken over this situation, I think it would have been a lot worse had I like, you know, been fully intimate with him. And same with the other guy. Like, I think it would have made things a lot worse. And so just like, protect your heart from, I mean, this could even be from family. This can just be from anyone who is toxic. Like, protect your peace, protect your heart, because like, it molds you. Like, if you let so much like toxicity into your life, like, it's going to overtake all the good things. So protect your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Next is, how you feel about your life is more important than how it looks on the outside. So this is something that I have struggled with working in social media. It's like, everywhere you look, people are posting like their highlight reels. They're posting all these pretty pictures and like the like beachy girl lifestyle. Like, I love that. I love the beach. Like, I would love to live that lifestyle. And me and Spencer literally almost moved to the beach because I was like, it would be great for content. It would be like, first off, we love the beach, but also like a big part of it was like for content reasons. And I had a health scare, which I think I talked about in one of the past episodes, of where they thought I had like a mass in my throat. I ended up not, praise the Lord. But that like shook me to my core and put everything into perspective of like, what is actually important? Like, what do you actually want? Because for a while I was like, oh, I want to travel. Like, I don't want to have a family for a long time. Like, I don't want to have a dog because that'll tie us down. Like, I want to travel all over. I don't want to have a home base, like all this. And then once that happened and I thought like, oh my gosh, like I could be really sick, or I could be dying. Like, that was literally my thought process. It just changed what I actually wanted. I was like, no, like I actually want to like build a house and like have a garden in the background and a pool and be able to invite over like my friends that live in Georgia and my family that lives in Georgia. And, you know, I want to have a puppy and I want to have something to take care of, and that, and like having a home base and something that me and Spencer both love and feel, you know, inspired and creative in. And yeah, it just like, it just shifts a lot of things. And I think that's because like, I was actually looking at my life through the lens of social media and what my life would look like to other people in social media. And that's like why I wanted to move to a different state so bad. And not saying we won't ever move or ever like, you know, show our highlight reels. Of course we will. It's something I still struggle with. But I think it's important to like, maybe journal and say, okay, if I didn't have social media, if nobody was watching me, if nobody was watching my life, what would I want it to look like? And write that down. And then that is the life that you should be going after, not this one that you think it would look good on Instagram or you think it would look good to your parents. Like, what do you actually want at your core? And that's the life that you should be trying to live. And I think I'm on my last one. Let's go. Okay, so this is from a friend. Her name is Kenzie. And she texted me this when I was at a 9-to-8-to-5 job that I absolutely hated. Like, hated it to my core. I cried every single day. I only stayed for 3 months. Three or four months, I can't remember. It was terrible, right? But I was doing it because I was broke and needed money. She texted me and said, "You are not a tree. You can move." And that, like, every day that I was at my job, I was like, "You're not a tree. You can move. You can move." When I knew I was gonna quit and I was like scared to go tell my manager, I was sitting there going, "You can move. You're not a tree. You get to move." And it's just so powerful. Like, it's such a short sentence, but it's so powerful because it's true. Same with like, if you want to move to a different state or different city or whatever, like, you don't have to be stationary. Like, you're not locked in. Like, life is not that serious that you're locked into like this one job you got right after college. You can move. You can try new things. You can start a business. You can, you know, if you're in a relationship that is terrible, even if you're in a marriage, I don't recommend getting divorced, but if you're in an abusive marriage, then you're not a tree. You can move. You get to take your power back. You get to take control of your life and you get to decide where you go and what you do. So that is my advice for your early 20s. If you're in college, I hope this inspires you. These are things that I have been told, that I have wished I've been told, and things that I have read. They have just stuck with me and will continue to stick with me probably throughout the rest of my life. And I'm excited to see what my quote unquote late 20s looks like. And we can do another episode of my late 20s and tell you what I learned over the next 4 years, which is super exciting and fun to think about. I know I have way more of these, so if more pop up, then maybe I'll do a part two. Let me know if that's something that you'd be interested in. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at Ivy's_journey with 2 Y's and on TikTok, of course, at Ivy's_journey. I hope you have the best week ever, besties.